Are your author web pages easily findable by user search engines? Today's guest provides what authors need to know about search engine optimization. SEO, you've heard about it. Now you're going to hear more. Stick around. Your best writing life begins right now. Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference, held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring tips and strategies from writing and publishing industry experts to help you excel in your craft, and I am so very glad that you are listening in today. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, you're going to be very glad you're listening in as well. During this episode, you're going to learn what authors need to know about SEO. No longer will it be a secret. That means you've got to be listening and you're going to have to apply what it is that you learn. But don't worry, we're not going to leave you stranded. We've got someone that can come alongside you. My industry expert is Matt Jones. Matt is the president of Jones House Creative, a design firm with a passion for helping Christian authors build their online platforms, promote their books, and connect with their readers online. Isn't that everything that you want? Absolutely it is. So please welcome with me to Your Best Writing Life, Matt Jones. Matt, it is great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Linda. We appreciate the invitation and so excited to be on your show.
I tell you, I'm blessed to have you here. SEO can be confusing. It can be daunting to the point where people stop, Matt, and they're like, I know it's only three letters, but I don't even want to approach it because it hurts my head. And so I know that what you're bringing today is going to gift our listeners, our authors, so that they're going to be able to breathe a little bit easier and not look at SEO as an enemy, but to look at it as an amazing opportunity. And the more we know, the better it's going to be for us as authors, especially as kingdom writers, because so much comes up against us. Let's don't make things harder for us in life than it already is. So we're going to dive right in because you are bringing a lot to today's program. First off,
fantastic.
You're going to talk about goals. So what are some of the goals that an author should have in mind when starting out with SEO?
Yeah. So I love what you said just about SEO being like not making it a mystery, not making it hard. One of our main goals at Jones House is part of our mission statement is to lift burdens. We breathe life into visions, we empower dreams, but we lift burdens. And so to me, anytime I've talked to somebody about SEO, it's always been sort of this mysterious thing that you have to, I've got to figure this out. And there's an element of acquiring the knowledge and just understanding what you're doing with your website. But it really boils down to this, and this is the number one goal. The first and most important goal is that you want to attract attention to your website. You want to have traffic come to your website and increase traffic through search engine results. It is that simple. Search engine optimization. People talk about the top 10 in a Google search. When you see the search page, getting there sometimes is a little bit difficult, but you want to have good placement for your website in search engine results. And that is the goal of SEO. It's just, how do you do that within your website? Secondary goals kind of spin off of that focus. Like, how do you getting your website into good search results? And it's really the goals of researching your keywords, knowing what are people going to search in order to find you. Not just what do you want them to search for to find you, but what are they actually going to search in order to find your website? And then a secondary goal that kind of spins off of that is writing content that incorporates those keywords and phrases in a natural way so that Google and Yahoo and Bing like your website. They don't want to red flag it. Before search engines really took off and the algorithm took place, people used to just fill up their entire background of their website in the code with all these keywords because it was all based on keyword saturation. How many times does such and such term show up on a website? Well, Google caught on to that, and now they really are focusing on so many other factors. And they do change. But there are some core fundamentals and that we can start with there. So.
No, this is good. I like also that you said the natural flow, right? Because
Yes.
what many authors do not recognize quickly is they already have all of their stuff in their head. So they already know what they're thinking about. They know what they're writing about. They know their content well, that when they start to insert keywords, it's based on their knowledge, not the knowledge of their readers. So we have to get in the head of the reader. We have to get in the head of the
Yes.
searcher. And knowing that we don't just put a word, we put a long tail keyword, or we put, what are they actually going
Yes.
to write? It's like we can get really clever about, for instance, this podcast. We could get really clever with the title of this podcast. I don't want to be clever. I want to be clear. And that's
Yes.
what it sounds like
Yes.
you're going to be bringing to us is no, don't make people guess about what it is that they're going to find on your website, what it is that you represent, what it is that you write about. Am I on target here with you?
Absolutely, absolutely. You're nailing it because you do know your content, but I love that you're focusing on that. It's like writers, we can tend to get into our heads and we think that the subject matter that we have researched, that we have poured our lives and our time into, that oh, everybody gets this because we're sort of in an echo chamber in our own head. Like everybody's going to know about this biblical fiction that I'm writing and the story of Mephibosheth. And it's like, no. You need to explain, make it relevant to the people around you, and then find out how you're going to attract those particular readers to you. And it's oftentimes way back at the beginning of when you started researching your book. What were you thinking about when you first came up with that idea? What inspired you? Well, that's what's going to inspire your readers to search for. So, there are layers to this whole thing, and I don't think we can get into all of it today by any means, but there's layers to creating SEO that's functional, and then you want to start tying in analytics, using Google Analytics and making sure that you know the search terms you're using, what people are actually searching to find your site. Analytics will tell you that. And what do you need to change in your website, in your SEO, to make sure that you're touching those searches? What are people actually finding you by? Checking other websites, well, what are they being found by? And so, growing this whole thing. But yeah, there are multiple layers and you have to get into the mind of your site visitor, your ideal demographic and find out what it is they're looking for. Yeah.
That's beautiful, beautiful. I love layers. It's
Good.
like a good meal. There's layers.
Yeah.
So I we want to we not we don't just want to partake in a little bit of something something with food. We want to be able to enjoy it, to be able to go a little deeper, and even waiting for that dessert at the end. There's we want people to stick around.
I like that analogy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
when they come to our website, we don't want it to be a click on, click off. We need to capture, we need to provide, and then we need to invite them to stick around for dessert. And if we can do that, then we're going to meet a lot more of their needs. And when we meet the
Yeah.
needs of our readers, of our website visitors, they're going to share it. They're going to tell somebody else.
Yes.
And what a beautiful organic way for that to grow. So, all right. So let's look at this then. When an author is setting up their SEO for the first time, where should they start?
Okay. I'm just going to say up front, you're going to hear me use the word it depends, or the two words it depends a lot in this kind of talk. But when you're starting to set up your website, it depends on what platform is your website using. We build websites almost exclusively in WordPress, and WordPress has plugins that make it really easy to introduce SEO to your website. If your website is set up on Squarespace or perhaps Wix, they have a lot of built-in features that will help you incorporate SEO as well. So you want to research how is your website built? What are some options that are available to you? Primarily, if it's okay, I'll probably talk most about WordPress just so that I speak the most eloquently and most educated. But for instance, with WordPress, there are some great plugins. One that we really like to use is called Yoast, Yoast, and it is a sort of an all-in-one plugin but they have a great SEO feature that allows you to address every individual page in your website. If you're using a plugin like My Book Table to have your books displayed in your website with links to your booksellers and so on, you can actually use this same plugin, Yoast, to address SEO on a book-by-book basis. So what it does is it just allows you to control every individual page. One of the things that you don't want to do is have the exact same keywords and the exact same focus phrases on every page of your website. Because if you could, and you can't, but if you could, when a search engine like Google came through and they index your whole site, they're going to see one topic. And that's that focus keyword that you've put into your website, and you've built that into your content. So that's something that you want to think about is how do I craft the content on my bio? How do I craft the content on my books pages? How do I craft the content in the URL at the top? So Yoast, that plugin will help you. Again, like I said, Squarespace and Wix both have built-in features in their platform. Sometimes you have to pay for those. I actually don't know if those are premium or not, but I do know that Squarespace has a fairly robust platform for being able to integrate SEO into your website. So that's the first place you start, understanding your platform. How am I going to introduce my focus words and keywords? The second step is to begin to research and compile your list of keywords and focus phrases in your site. And I love that you brought up a moment ago long tail keywords. People don't always think about that. They think, I have to find up a word. Well, there's really no way that you're going to capture all of the traffic on the internet for fiction. There's no way you're going to capture all the traffic for Christian fiction. But you have a much better shot using a long tail keyword, which might be Christian and inspirational fiction, contemporary romance, something along those lines, if that addresses your book. But using researching and compiling that list of keywords that apply to your books. And if you write in multiple genres, that's another beauty of that Yoast plugin is that this book might be contemporary romance, this one or action thrillers or something, and this one might be science fiction. Ronnie Kendig, she loves to have that split genre thing. So using something like this allows you to do that, but you want to build your keyword list and start introducing that into the contents and into all the different facets of SEO that we can talk about. Was that a good answer?
Oh, such a good answer. Very, very
Okay,
good.
great.
All
Thank you.
right. So, and this is good. I do have Yoast on my website and I utilize WordPress. So I'm trekking right along with you here right now. So this is good. All right. Let's go to next. What are some of the important things that an author should keep in mind when setting up their SEO? And this is different than where should you start? Because, folks, sometimes, gosh, I'm just going to go to food again. I don't know. Maybe I'm hungry. I don't know. Maybe it's that time of day. But when you're preparing a meal or you're preparing a recipe, you have to gather the ingredients and you don't wait until the moment that you're cooking it or that your family is ready to sit down and eat to say, oh, by the way, let's bring this in. We need to plan ahead. And planning is good because you're going to have the right ingredients. You're going to have everything is going to be exactly in front of you that you're going to need. You're going to know what portion to use of what. And being able to know the important things to keep in mind while you're setting up SEO, it's just going to make, golly, it's just going to make your website so much more inviting and taking the time. And again, you don't have to do this by yourself. And we'll let you know more about that. But doing it the best that we can, especially as kingdom writers, y'all, there's a lot of individuals vying for the attention, the energy, and I'm just going to say it, the soul of your reader. I think it's good for us to be the best that we can be and to consider our website one of our first fruits that we offer Father. Am I utilizing due diligence? Am I looking at this and not making it haphazard? Do I have this? ready so that it will give God glory and more people are going to find it, because we can have the best message out there. But if no one finds us, come on, y'all. Come on. We have to be findable. And what we offer has to give an answer. So that's why we're here. That's why we're covering this today. That's why Matt's business is celebrating 15 years of longevity, because of everything that he has accomplished for his authors. And I love that even in his bio, it says that they have a passion for their clients. They have a passion for you. They want what you to offer to be the best that it can be. So let's keep listening. Let's take it to Father, and he's going to make clear what you need to do next. So bring us, if you would please, Matt, some of those important things that we must keep in
mind. All right. Absolutely. I didn't include this in my plan, but it's just one of the things I want to throw out is that, SEO, the first thing that you need to keep in mind is that it doesn't need to be scary. It doesn't need to be some mystical thing that you can't accomplish. You're a writer. You're incredibly creative. You can create lists of words like a thesaurus if I asked you to. So thinking about what you already know about your writing and then translating that into a list that you can convey out, that's really the core of this. It's like helping convey your message, your brand, who you are. You want to convey that to your readers, to your site visitors. So even what you're crafting, it's not a scary, difficult, terrible, terrifying ethos kind of thing. It's very much what you know. You're still presenting your brand and your message, but you want to just eliminate the thought of, I don't know if I can do this, and am I doing it right? You're doing it right. If you're writing down your list about what you know, you're doing it right. But one of the things that I really think people don't always understand is that SEO in itself is an organic process. And unfortunately, it's also an organic process that's constantly changing. So you can't plug in keywords and focus phrases into your website and immediately be on the first page of a search engine's search results. It's going to take time. You know, Google sends, think of them like little bugs, little spider bots that come out and they index your whole site. They crawl through the whole site. They look for all of the content and then they index it. And then based on what they find, that's how they rank you in their search engine. So that's why we're using SEO. But 3 months from now, they might change one of their own parameters. And it's not to make it hard for people. It's because they want to give the absolute best results they can. So that's why it's important to just understand that what you do right now, if you were to go out today and just spend the hours that it takes to fill your site up with great SEO, great content, you've got your meta descriptions made and your URLs and everything, 6 months from now, you might see traffic drop off. And it's not because what you put out there isn't relevant anymore. It's simply that the way Google or Yahoo or Bing or whoever is indexing websites has changed. So that's why we love to use analytics along with it, so that we can just watch the traffic. We can see what is happening. I mean, I hate to even tie it to a real life example, but it's a bit like parenting. You know, when your kids are babies, they need 9 basic things. They need food, they need changing, they need attention, they need sleep, they need sunlight, they need whatever. When they're 4, their needs have changed. Things are different. When they hit teenage years, they're radically different what they need. And when they get, and then when they get into their 20s and so on, yeah. I've got the gamut right now. I've got 21, 19, and 17. And so it's just, you know, I've been through a lot of stages, and even today I'm like, okay, my kids' needs are completely different. They've all changed. And so my wife and I, we often are just like, gosh, this is hard, but it's worth it. So SEO is hard in a way, but it's worth it. But paying attention to what you do with your website, how the industry changes, how Google changes, it's just something to pay attention to. So don't think it's a one-time event and then your SEO is set. You just want to pay attention to it. Make sure that you're always getting the results that you want. There's kind of a joke in SEO practice that says SEO is dead. And in a way that's kind of true, but it's not true, because what SEO actually is it's constantly dying. It's born, it grows, and then the algorithm changes and it dies. So you have to start over and you learn again. And it doesn't change too drastically, but it does change. So that's just something to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind when you're doing SEO is that almost every element of your website can have an SEO element to it. For example, your images, every picture that you upload to your website, you have an opportunity to craft a file name for that image that applies to either what the image is or to you. You know, you could take a picture of a pie because you're including a recipe on your extras page for one of your books, but instead of just putting, you know, apple crumble pie in the file name, you're actually going to put your name and the book title from the book that that recipe is in, or maybe, you know, historical fiction food, you know, I don't, whatever, but something that's going to apply in an SEO fashion. You can name your files that way. Then with WordPress, and Squarespace is the same. When you upload the image, you can add alt attributes. The ALT, if you've ever seen that, I don't know how many people actually go and look at code. We look at code all the time, so they've been talking about something that people don't know. But your alt tag is another option or another opportunity for you to add SEO to an image. So you've already got two shots to add some great SEO into just your images. So just understand that images, pages, the URL, which is the address, you know, yourname.com/, everything that comes after that slash, it's called the slug. And that slug, capitalize on that. Use that to your advantage. Put in your search terms for that page. When you go to the next page that you're working on, again, use that slug in your URL to capitalize on SEO. So I think that's the thing, is just understand that it's organic and it's going to change. And the other side of that is every element in your website can be used to your advantage when it comes to SEO. Just take a second and think about it. And even small basic changes really do help.
Okay. Dude, you've just walked in. You've just walked into my kitchen and you've started pulling out all of these bottles of spices. You have just sat them on the counter and said, are you using this in this portion of your meal? Are you using this? It's available. It's going to make it more appetizing. It's going to make it more appealing. It's going to help those that are searching for it. It's going to attract their senses, is what you're saying to me, Matt. And why would I leave any of that out? I think I only... Right. We only leave it out because we don't realize the benefit that it has for our readers, for those who are searching, who really need our content. And if we are not attracting them by saying, no, 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 we have this right here. This is what you're looking for. And I have it here for you. Come and taste and see that God is good. Right. So we want that to be present for them. So this is fantastic. And I like that you're saying every element, people, we're missing out. Every element. We need to be taking advantage of this. And I'm going to throw something out there for some of our listeners who may be just brand new to this. Oh my goodness, I'm building a website. I'm doing all of this. And Matt just started talking about spiders and that there's spiders that are creeping through all of our stuff. Folks, this is how we need you to understand this. Understand that WWW stands for the World Wide Web. And so what's on webs? Absolutely. We're talking about the spiders. We're talking about what is being utilized to cross over from one area to the next, to the next, to the next. And so makes it perfect sense if you actually visualize it that way. So it's not creepy.
Love it.
It's beautiful, beautiful. God made all of his creatures for a reason and to be able to welcome them in. I live in the country, so we get a lot of our big garden spiders and some of the wolf spiders and a lot of people are, oh no. I go, are you kidding me? They eat all the things I don't want around my house. So these are all good.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. So then as we're wrapping this up, what are some of the best practices that an author can use to keep their SEO fresh. That's, I tell you, because that's what you just said. It's, this grows, right? It's organic in the sense that the analytics are changing, the traffic changes, the industry changes, Google changes, everything keeps changing. And so not to look at, oh, I place it, drop it, we're done, but to keep the SEO fresh on our website, what do we need to know?
Yeah. That phrase right there, keep it fresh, just to me is the nugget, the core of this. One of the things that search engines love the most, and I'll actually say two, but the first one is, hopefully everyone's heard the phrase, content is king. And I would amend that just to say fresh content is king when it comes to search engine results. Search engines love it when your site has something that was published today or this, you know, this week, something. It tells them that the website is recent, that it's keeping things updated, and therefore it has new, relevant, applicable information that their searchers will find interesting. You know, I mean, Google in itself, they're still a business. They want to give good results to everybody who comes in and makes a search because that keeps them on their search engine, on their browser pages, and their advertisers that they get paid by want people to stay there too. So you having relevant information in your website means they want to feature you so that their users will always get relevant information. So having that fresh content in your website is just, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. And does it have to be a blog? I don't know. Not everybody's a blogger. You know, a lot of authors are like, I have to put out four novels this year. I mean, you know, or I'm just trying to get this one done, or, you know, I'm behind on my edits from my editor, whatever. So how do I get that fresh content out there? If it's not a blog, then it's your newsletter. You know, taking your newsletter content that you're sending out to people, even if it's just a brief update, having that in your website. Whatever you can do to just consistently have fresh content on your website, interview somebody, you know, write up a blog interview that you send out to other writers and have them come back to your site. Because the second thing that search engines really, or say a second thing that search engines really love, is for you to have outbound links and inbound links. So you going out and interviewing other authors, featuring them on your website with a standard list of questions that you've written that you give to most people, maybe you edit it for different genres or whatever, but creating an interview that you can send to another author whose book is about to come out, you're helping them, you're putting fresh content on your website, and because they are a completely separate entity, you're gonna have the opportunity to have outbound links going to their website, going to their book, going to the booksellers that are selling their book, and then you also would ask them, link back to me. Because what that says to search engines is that, oh, these two sites are active. They give back to the community. And believe it or not, that kind of, what's the word I want to use? And not philanthropy, but that kind of interaction between websites tells search engines, these guys are fresh. They're interactive. They're working together. They're keeping links going. And so you're benefiting other people. You're benefiting yourself. And you're improving your search rankings on Google. So, and then the last point, I think, you know, we talked about this, we touched on this briefly earlier, but coupling your SEO with analytics is, it just helps you know what's working and what's not. That's all it is. So, you know, signing up for a Google Analytics account isn't that difficult. If you want help, we would love to help you. We can do all that stuff. It's kind of stuff we like. But having analytics connected to your SEO just lets you know what words are working, which ones can we change. It also helps you track traffic through your website. You know, what pages do people hit and stay on? Well, what are the ones that they hit and they're gone in 3 seconds? How can I fix that page? How can I redirect traffic into my site so that I'm getting them to the pages that I want using my SEO? So those two things I think are just best practices for your website, is fresh content being put out there, and then consistently watching it, consistently tracking and analyzing how people get to your site. So
that's so good. And you're right. Utilizing the outbound and inbound links. And let's touch on that for just a second. when you have an outbound link on your blog post, or I have fresh content and podcast posts on my website because I actually have my podcast on the website is set up for comments and everything else. So it's almost
Brilliant.
set up like a blog post. So with that, then I will link to someone else's website directly from that post. And if I have part one, part two, or whatever in a series, then I have inbound links that connect to previous content that we've already discussed. And that, you're right, that really helps with traction. It helps others to
Definitely.
know, oh, and there's more. And
Yes.
it's almost like we're feeding the spiders is what we're doing,
Yes. That's a
because they're going,
very apt
wait,
description. Yes.
right? Oh, wait, they have something else here. Oh, so now I get to travel over here, fast track to a different site. And when we can do that and do it effectively, it's huge. It's huge. Oh, my goodness, you have
Absolutely.
brought us so much. So if I gave you one more opportunity to share anything that maybe you haven't shared so far, what would you like to offer to or tell our listeners right now? Because we'll talk about your giveaway and we'll talk about some of your resources, but anything else that you might like to share on this subject?
I think the one thing that we touched on that people could really benefit focusing on is when you're building out your focus words and keywords, your compilation of library, your sorry, your compilation of focus terms and key phrases and stuff. Use your imagination. And when I say that, I'm not trying to say, come up with crazy words like you said at the beginning of the show. I'm not going to label something crazy that nobody's going to search for. But try not to limit yourself to certain phrases. And you need to get creative with as far as like thinking through what people are going to use to find your site. Because ultimately, each of us is responsible for the content that we put in our websites in order to attract people. Like people can't do it for us. No search engine is going to knock on your door and say, hey, did you know that people aren't finding you by these keywords? You need to change these. So, putting the time into research, there are online tools that I'm so sorry I don't have anything written down today, but there are online tools that you can use to find out about the most popular search terms and keywords for any given subject. And so finding that out can also help you identify ones that you don't want to use because when I put that in, it's going to give 9 million results, and this one over here is going to be 100,000 results, and this one here is 35,000. So trying to find the way to fit those in. It's there are tools out there that can help you build those lists, but understanding that your content on your website, that's your key. It's the key to getting people to your website, and it really comes down to you. So spend the time to create that content, to create those focus words and key phrases, and when you introduce them into your site, introduce them in a natural way. Like in the if you're writing them into the content of your page, don't just randomly throw out. I had a client a while back. I'll tell this story. He was a roofer here in Tulsa, threw up a website really fast because he wanted to attract a lot of attention. And his content literally was, if you're looking for a Tulsa roofer, we are a Tulsa roofer in the Tulsa community. We do Tulsa roofing in the Tulsa roofer community. And it was so off-putting that even creating the website for him, I was like, my friend, you're gonna lose so hard and you don't know it. So build
You
it
almost
into
want to
what you're
ask,
saying.
what area are you in?
know. And
Called
I think
being
the
really on the nose. We don't want to be
exactly.
on the nose like that.
No, you want to engage people in your story, right away. Donald Miller talks about that a lot. He's an author, Blue Black
Yes.
Jazz. When he's talking about marketing, he always uses the phrase, engage people with your story. So
Yeah.
even when you're crafting this list of focus keywords and all search terms and stuff, you want to engage people with your story by including those things in there. But thinking, like you
Amen.
said at the beginning of the show, thinking through what are people needing to get to your site? Think that way, not what do you want them to find you by. That'll grow, that'll develop. But how are they going to get there? It's preaching the
Thank
gospel, the
goodness.
same thing. What you're going to speak to a person who's addicted to drugs when you're introducing them to Jesus is very different than a person who's a businessman who has everything he needs. But how do you even engage with them? You have to think about your audience, craft your content to fit that, and then within your content, use those keywords and search terms that are relevant to you
Amen.
and
Amen.
to your readers. So, yeah.
So good. So good. All right. Well, I'm going to toss this out to you because we have discussed as you begin, as you're keeping in mind, as you start all of this, what about those of us that we already have established websites? Is it too late to begin really bringing up the SEO in our established websites? Because we're like, wait, I've had it for several years. Is there hope for me, Obi-Wan Kenobi or Matt Kenobi? Is there we have
Yes.
hope.
Yes. Well, I will teach you, Padawans. There definitely is hope. Even for people who have gone through the process of creating SEO, like we said, SEO changes. It grows up, changes, it dies. And so it's constantly moving. So I would just say that if I'll tell you another story. I had a client come to me a year and a half ago. She was a local writer, and she had done so well with her SEO that she was getting, 2,000, 3,000 unique visits to her website daily. And also in her in social media, she was using Pinterest and having the same kind of success. But she literally came to me. She's like, "I don't know what happened. All of my traffic just went away." And she's like, "My SEO is still the same. I'm doing the same thing I was doing over my social media, and I don't understand what's going on." And I'm like, "That is the prime example of how the algorithms change. She's not being punished. She hasn't done anything wrong. It's just that the way her site was being cataloged has changed." So for people who have established SEO on their website, I would just say, well, if they're not monitoring their traffic already, start monitoring your traffic. And you want to know, traffic is all comes down to unique IDs. Sorry, I'm using technical jargon. Unique visitors. One visitor may come to your site 9 times in the same day. Well, that's still just one visitor. How many unique different visitors have you had? So tracking who they are and how many of those are per day, if you watch that number, you'll start to see it either grow or shrink. And if it's shrinking, it's time for you to change. If you're looking at it and your numbers are really low and you just want to increase, refresh your SEO. Go through it again. See what's changed. Go do some research and find out, well, what are people looking for who used to find me? What's that demographic finding now? Who are the authors they're finding? And let's mimic that, or at least adapt our own SEO to fit it. So not too late. It's always changing. You can always track it and find out what you need to do to change.
Perfect. Great. Such great information. And I know that we do have a listener giveaway specific to the SEO content that we have today because you have a PDF and it's the 21 SEO musts for author websites that you'd like to gift our listeners with. And we greatly
Love to.
appreciate that. So we have that in the show notes, of course. And tell us a little bit. I know that you have resources on your website. And tell us about the social media trends report that you have a mailing list for that. Tell us a little bit about that.
We do. So, my team every week puts together what we just call our social trends report. And it's really meant to just be a way of, again, our focus, lifting a burden. So many people are like, "I want to get engaged with social media. I know I need to. I don't know what to post." Well, we give you what to post. We can tell every week we have ideas in there. We have trends that are going on. We just, little inspirational ideas and stuff. And then even we feature a social media account, I guess I would call it, but just a person on social media who's actually doing something that's working well and just talking about them. And so it just gives people a chance to see what's working well, have some ideas that they can do. And we give ideas for reels. You know, if you're really into TikTok or on Instagram and you don't mind being on camera, we got ideas for reels. If you don't want to be on camera and you don't like that, we have ideas for graphics and images, you know, because a lot of people, they don't want to be on video. As a matter of fact, if anybody signs up for our newsletter right now, we actually have another lead magnet that's our 62 non-video reel ideas for authors that they can sign up for. And so it just gives you a list of different things you can do that keeps you off camera. And so you can sign up for that. But yeah, so the social trends report just helps people who know they want to do social media, but they're not quite sure what to post, like what just need ideas. So yeah, that's the STR.
That's excellent.
So yeah, if they want to sign up for the social trends report, they get the 62 non-video reel ideas. If they sign up for our newsletter, they also get that download right now. And again, that changes in a few weeks. That'll be different.
Okay, perfect. Now you do have a
Yeah.
product promotion. Tell us about your product,
Do.
current product promotion. This is very interesting, folks.
Excellent. So, all right, thank you. And our current product promotion right now, we're really focusing on helping authors communicate with their readers easily. I had a conversation with a longtime client. She's been with us for nearly 14 years. And it was just talking to her about, you know, what's your deepest felt need as an author? And I think for a lot of authors who are so focused on writing, they have a lot of should do's that their agents and their editors and their publishers and even their other writer friends are throwing at them, being social media and so on. But the one that we're focusing on is newsletter management. And so when I was speaking to her, I just said, "What's your main pain point right now?" And she's like, "I just wish I could put out a consistent newsletter." And so I just took that to heart, and I thought, well, you know, we love the tech side of stuff, and you know, writers love to write. So what if we just made a way for writers to write their content for a newsletter, just a message, whatever it is that they're putting out that month, just write it and then give it to me, and then we'll take care of all the rest. We'll set up the technical side. We'll set up the mailing account. We'll, you know, make sure the forms are connected. And if you have lead magnets, we put those in. We take your content and format it for you. You know, put in the images that you have. And then schedule it, make sure that you get to see the preview before it goes out. But then we just take care of sending it for everybody. And the immediate response was, "Oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this for years. Where can I sign up?" And so in the last 3 months, we've just had a influx of people as they're finding out about it, just like, "Yes, please, this, you know, just having this." And everybody's comment is the same. It's like, "I've had this burden on my shoulders for so long. I just needed somebody to do this for me." And we're like, "Hey, we love doing this." So, you know, we get the simultaneous joy of getting to do technical stuff, which we like, and design stuff that we love, and also lift a burden. So that's what we're doing right now. And so we have three packages. Do you want me to talk about those?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Okay. So we have three packages. If an author wants to send once a month, it's a $49 package, and all they do is write their content. They submit it through a form on our website. We take the content, craft it, and get it ready for them to send out. If they want to send two newsletters a month, it's $89 per month, and four, so once a week, is $169 a month. And some authors like to have, you know, an email blast they're sending out that's different than their newsletter, and we have options for that. All of that's on our website. I can give you the link to that page, and you can put it in the notes if you like. But yeah, if anybody's interested in signing up, please do. And we actually wanted to throw out a special for listeners of your podcast. If they want to sign up, they would use a promo code, which is just your last name, Goldfarb, and we will give them the first month for free.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm so excited. This is good. This is so
Excellent.
good. And yes, we do have all of those links in there. And even more, we have where you can find Jones House Creative on Insta, Facebook, and also the website is there as well. And I would venture to say, folks, that if you go to the website, there's a contact page. Get with Matt, get
Yes.
with his team and say, what about this? Or Matt, do you meet with people to see if you're a good fit?
Always.
All right.
Always. Always. We have yeah, we one of the primary things that we have all of our website is just a button to schedule a consultation. All our consultations are free. We don't require anything up front, but I love to meet with people, and you know, like I was talking about my client that I've been with for 14 years, we love working long term with people because it's
Yeah.
just let's build a relationship. Let's get to know each other. Let's work well. On the occasion, we've had people who are like, I think I'd fit better with somebody else. And absolutely, we don't want to be anything that would be a hindrance to somebody.
Right.
So yeah, let's meet and talk. If nothing else, we got to meet another believer. So we love that.
That's right. Extend our family, folks. We can do this. This
Yes.
has been great. Matt Jones, Jones House Creative, you've given us so much today. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your truth talking. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see what Father's going to do in and through this episode. And I'm praying that listeners are not stepping back, but that they're stepping forward to go, all right, what do I need to know that I don't know? Because if I'm in this, I'm all in. And it's not as my CPA would say, are you doing something as a hobby or are you looking to make this long term? And as long as we're here, folks, if we are writing, if we are kingdom builders, if we are creatives for the king, let's give it our best shot. Let's don't be on the sidelines. Time is short. Let's jump in there and do the best that we can. Matt, it's been a pleasure having you here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy for me as well.
All right. We'll see if we can get Matt back on. He's a talker, so there's got to be other things he likes to talk about too. So we'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. Thank you so much,
Sounds good.
friends, for joining us. And if you would, please take a moment to share this podcast with another writer or two, or as I say, why not a baker's dozen? Just toss it out there. Bring people in. I tell you, Matt, I'm going to have to go eat something. I mean, maybe I have to make some of my homemade bread. That's what I've got to do. I'm into food right now. But folks, we appreciate you. Put a star rating out there, post an episode review, hit subscribe. You don't want to miss any of the episodes that we offer you here on Your Best Writing Life. It's kind of like going to a mini writers conference every single week, and you're not being charged a dime. God is so good, isn't he? I greatly appreciate what all of you have to say about your best writing life and what you choose to write for the kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.